like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Obadiah, hear God's word. The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations, saying, Arise and let us go against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loneliness of your dwelling, in the loftiness of your dwelling places, who say in your heart, Who will bring me down to the earth? Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how will you be ruined? Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked, and his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Will I not, on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men of Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. Because of violence to your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame, and you will be cut off forever. On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that the strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you too were one of them. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Do not boast in the day of their distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their distress, and do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster. Do not stand at the fork of the road to cut down their fugitive, and do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. For the day of the Lord dawns near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. But on Mount Zion, there will be those who escape. And it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. Then the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau will be a stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Then those of the Negev will possess the mountain of Esau, and those of the Shephelah, the Philistine plain, also possess the territory of Ephraim and the territory of Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. And the exiles of the host of the sons of Israel, who are among the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and all the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad, will possess the cities of the Negev. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you might be pleased to speak to us through it even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Saddam Hussein is and was a notorious tyrant. He took full advantage of his position and took advantage of his people and of his nation. It's well known that his sons and his generals plundered the villages and raped the wives and daughters of Iraq. And Saddam Hussein himself looted the wealth of the nation. He did so to build palaces for himself and to line his own pockets. And to have reserves to bribe the leaders of other nations in a time of need. And I wonder if you were a citizen in Iraq during those times, how you would escape the hand of the tyrant and the rapist and the plunderer and the looter. I think the only answer is that it would be by the grace of God that you would escape. And if in God's providence you happen to be one of those looters, one of those generals, or perhaps the leader of the country, standing condemned before God, how would you escape the judgment of God? Well, the answer again, it seems to me, is plain. It's only by the grace of God in Christ. And so I think this is the point that Obadiah leads us toward in this particular text. That it's really by the grace of God that we may expect to escape the hand of the looter or the hand of the judge in the end. Except for the grace of God, the looters of this life will destroy you, and the hand of judgment will be upon you, except for the grace of God. The situation in Obadiah is rather plain, actually. There's sibling rivalry, long-lasting sibling rivalry, between Jacob and Esau. And you remember the story in the beginning. The older will serve the younger, and Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of stew. What a thing to do. And so the sibling rivalry ensues, and it progresses as the children of Israel go up from Egypt and attempt to go into the promised land, and the children of Esau, the Edomites, refuse them entry by way of the king's highway. And then now, as we enter the scene of Obadiah, the sibling rivalry is very hot. Judah and Jerusalem have been plundered by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, and Jerusalem lies in waste. And the Edomites, the children of Esau, gloat at the thought of their younger brothers' sufferings, and they go down and loot the city. Again, look at verses 12 through 14. Do not gloat over your brother's day, the day of his misfortune. And do not rejoice over the sons of Judah in the day of their destruction. Yes, do not boast in the day of their distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their disaster. Yes, you do not gloat over their calamity in the day of their disaster, and do not loot their wealth in the day of their disaster, and do not stand at the fork of the road and cut down their fugitives, and do not imprison their survivors in the day of their distress. It's a picture we can relate to, isn't it? The recent pictures from New Orleans, earlier pictures from Baghdad after U.S. forces entered the city and the looting that ensued. On a lesser degree, Houston and Galveston. And more recently in the news, Toledo, Ohio, a little closer to home. And what was it that drove the evil and the looting? It was an evil heart, a heart of pride that drove that evil and that action. Look at verse 3. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars. The Edomites lived on a high plateau to the south and to the east of the Dead Sea, overlooking a lush valley to the west, through which the King's Highway, a prominent caravan route, ran. It was dominant terrain, and the dominance of the terrain was a symbol of the pride in the hearts of the Edomites, who thought they had it made as they were overlooking the surrounding territory and looking down their long noses at those who were surrounding them. And then when the day of Judah's calamity came, they entered the city to loot and pillage their younger brother. But God will respond. Verse 6. Oh, how Esau will be ransacked and his hidden treasures searched out. God will have his day. Verse 8. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. It's kind of interesting that one of Job's counselors, Eliphaz, was a Temanite, a wise man who opposed the man of God. Calvin has kind of an interesting comment with regard to the three counselors and with regard to Job. He says, the three counselors had a poor argument, but they presented it well. And Job had a good argument, but he presented it poorly. And often this is the case, is it not? That the people of God present their arguments poorly, but the wise of the world with a poor argument present it well. And this is how they use their wisdom to oppose their neighbors and to oppose the people of God. And so it was with the Edomites. But God will have his day. And God's day is not simply local, as the scriptures tell us here in Obadiah. Look at verse 15. For the day of the Lord draws near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealings will return on your own head. The day of the Lord is a day which is a day of universal judgment. And every nation and every person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm rather amazed that you still hear this comment from the lips of individuals. I would just as soon go to hell to be with my friends. How could anyone ever make such a statement? And yet people do. There will be no friendship in that awful place. As you have done, it will be done to you. And as the Edomites, if you bear hatred in your heart toward your neighbor, When you descend into that awful place, you will receive the brunt of hatred from every other person in that place. For eternity, there are no friends in hell. But the contrary is also true, is it not? Verse 17. But on Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. That is, the house of Jacob, the people who receive the promise of God and embrace the promise will receive their inheritance. And in the heavenly Mount Zion, in the place of perfect rest, there is escape. And it is escape through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that place, because of Him, there is perfect holiness. It's exactly this to which Obadiah leads us. Verse 21. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. The great Augustine says that the mountain of Esau is a figure, that figure in which the part is put in the place of the whole. Do you remember what that is?
A synecdoche.
A synecdoche, yes. And it is a figure which represents all of the nations. And the commentators are pretty much agreed that that's the case. And so it agrees with verse 15, for the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. And what are we to say of the beginning of verse 21? The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion. I wonder if we have a similar figure here, where the plural is put in the place of the singular. And this is none other than a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, who ascends to Zion in heaven. And this is in keeping with the general teaching of Scripture. In Psalm 68, the psalmist portrays the Lord our God bringing the people of God out of Egypt into the wilderness, into the promised land, and up to Mount Zion. And the Apostle Paul takes that picture in Ephesians 4 and relates it specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, who led captive a host of captives to the heavenly Zion. And how is it that he does this? He must first descend into this world, as the Apostle tells us, and live in this world for the purpose of dying a terrible death on a cross to bear the wrath of God for sinners. And then ascend on high, where he assumes the throne of the majesty on high. And as Obadiah 21 says, the kingdom will be the Lord's. And so in the sweep of 21 verses, the prophet Obadiah takes us from the world of sin and degradation, of pride and lust and looting. He takes us from that lower world, the world in which we find ourselves, to that higher world, to the heavenly Mount Zion, to the place where the King, our Lord Jesus, sits enthroned over His kingdom. What a wonderful picture the prophet Obadiah gives us. But now let's just back off for a moment and think about ourselves in this world. How is it that we do escape the looters of this world? I mentioned Toledo, Ohio, just a moment ago. It's a very astounding situation. Here this radical group gets permission to demonstrate in this city. And in response, gangs come along and begin to loot and pillage local businesses. In response. Now, what would it have been like for you to have been the owner of that business? Caught in the crossfire of this pillaging and looting. Could the same thing happen here on the streets of Pittsburgh quite easily? Absolutely. It wasn't that long ago in Forest Hills, one of the local policemen was shot and killed. How do we escape being caught in the crossfire? Only by God's grace, friends. No security system is going to help you in those circumstances. The grace of God is your security system in circumstances like that. And every time you drive out of this seminary property and get on Penn Avenue or get on the parkway, ultimately, is it not the grace of God that is your security? And suppose in God's providence, you would happen to be, spiritually speaking, one of those Edomites. Standing condemned before God. How would you escape God's judgment? Again, it could only be by the grace of God in Christ. As I stand before you today, I can say, spiritually speaking, I was one of those Edomites. With lust and hatred in my heart. And it's only by the grace of God that I can stand before you today and say of the Lord Jesus Christ, using the words of the Apostle Paul, He loved me and gave Himself up for me. And if spiritually speaking, you happen to be one of those Edomites, having hatred in your heart towards a brother or a sister, the only way there is escape from the judgment which is to come is by the grace of God in Christ. And you must cast yourself on Him. Except for the grace of God, the saying goes, there go I. Is that not the case? Except for the grace of God in Christ, friends, the looters of this life and the judgment of God will destroy you. Trust Christ. Look to Him and embrace Him. He is the answer, and He ultimately is the security you have before God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your word. We pray that we might understand it well. And as a result, be grateful for Your grace. And in all times and in all seasons. Repair to you to find refuge in you and in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be pleased to bless us and to protect us and to shelter us from the looters of this life. And be pleased by your grace in Christ to shelter us from the wrath to come because of what Christ has done for us. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.